This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny. Alice's morning show. It's Thursday. That means we peak for the week in just a moment. Right now, though, we've got Florida-Georgia line tickets for you. They're coming to Concord on the 15th and Shoreline on the 16th. And we've got tickets to one of those shows for caller number 97 right now, 800-400-3697. We're doing this all day, 9 to 4, every hour on the fives. Call now, 800-400-3697, Florida Georgia Line tickets.
Here are some of the texts you sent us this morning. We got a lot, so I'll try to run through as many as possible before the big movie review. I agree with Vinny. I like a nice bush, says 510. It's a man groomer, Bonnie. Got one for my hairy bleep husband. Yeah, I don't think if you really have a hairy back, like the full hair, I don't think this thing would work. It's really for just
light.
Clean up. I get the stuff right behind my neck in the middle of the. Anyway.
What's it called? Bryn, you look
this says
up.
Man groomer.
Is that
that's what 415 says, yeah. Vin, you should try laser hair removal. No, this is a big enough. I don't even want to talk about it, to be honest. It's the whole thing is humiliating.
Mine is called the electric back hair shaver.
Oh, is that what that said?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Men grooming. I cannot believe you haven't talked about Kevin on Big Brother brushing his teeth and then using his toothbrush to do his hair. Did you see that?
That was so
Is that
strange.
A Boston thing?
I know.
Do you do that? You
I
finish
do
brushing
not
your
do
teeth
that.
And then like clean
comb I don't
your
know what that
combed
is.
His eyebrows?
It's like the
and
all purpose
his
all
hair
purpose.
With his toothbrush.
Oh.
It was disgusting. And then he puts his toothbrush back in his mouth. Oh. Brushing around.
Sarah, no worries about Brady this year. He's going to rock it despite the Madden NFL curse. Because Amendola took the hit for him.
Oh. All right, well, I guess we'll find out.
Vinny, please tell Hooman that if he wants to be a real movie reviewer, he needs to cross the aisle and do all the movies, even scary ones.
Yeah,
I listen to his reviews and like them, but as a horror movie fan, I feel like I'm missing out.
Well, you got Rudy.
Yeah, can Rudy go see Mother next week?
Yeah, well, it's up to you, Zad. Let's let her make the executive decision.
Well, someone should see that. It's
right,
gonna, it's
I
the
agree.
Big release.
I'll
That's
talk to Rudy
the
about
movie
it
to see.
Later.
Michelle Pfeiffer, come on.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
When I lived in England a few years ago, everyone was asking me to bring red Solo cups home. They think they're cool because they see them in movies. You can't find them anywhere. Well, Solo cups should really consider sending those.
Yeah, they need to know.
Around
this.
The world.
One of the guys in Diego's Umbrella, which is a band that's playing tomorrow with my friend Hot-Ass Danielle.
Yeah.
The dude's name is Red Cup.
The lead guy?
No, I think he's the bass player.
Oh. But he goes by Red Cup.
Because he always has the red Solo cup.
Oh, how funny.
Oh.
You know.
What's the name of that band?
The party. Diego's Umbrella.
Oh.
They're playing with Danielle's band, Fistful of Scandal.
So weird.
Tomorrow at 19 Broadway.
707 says, for the first time, I'm rooting for Josh to get HOH so he can make a big play and get Paul out.
Oh, my God. I felt the same way. I just can't believe that the biggest meatball in the house
is the one
who's
around.
Like, I can see this happening. Like, it's an unbelievable. That guy, I have to totally reassess how I feel about that dude.
707, if you watch the live feeds, Christmas and Alex are terrible people.
Oh. They are? It doesn't elaborate on that?
Nope. Well, I already feel like I put too much on Christmas's looks and accomplishments, physical fitness wise and otherwise.
Right.
And I just looked forward to being impressed by her.
Right.
Seeing her be
She's
a
impressive
really,
on paper for sure.
A good competitor and a good person. And she's just been, she makes excuses and she's kind of whiny. And I thought she just didn't come off in any way like I would have expected her
right.
to.
And her diary room stuff, it's like she's reading a script and making these dumb faces. You're just like, I just want to slap her. Stop it. I'm sure she's a very nice person. Well, maybe she isn't. I mean, it sounds like the people watching the live feed are like, they're terrible people.
She's really getting savaged on social media, for sure.
That's what you open yourself up to when you go on Big Brother.
Yeah, or any reality
show. Or on Twitter. Living in this world, that's what you're open to.
510 says, if you're single after your kids move out to college, life is somewhat exciting. I'm having an awesome time. I'm single, I'm fit, I have a fun job, and I'm ready to mingle. Woohoo!
Oh, that sounds fun. She sounds very exciting. Or he or she, whoever that is.
Well, they earned it, though.
Yeah.
They gave away their, well, not gave away. I mean, sure, they love their kids, but you, through your youth, when everyone was going cuckoo out there, you were like, I'm reading a bedtime story. I can't talk.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yes.
It's a really big thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I'm in the middle of our bedtime routine. Nothing must interfere.
720 says, 3 inches. Our Hong Kong guy is not a size queen. It's Pilsner or nothing for me.
Read that again.
3 inches. Our Hong Kong guy, the guy who sat on that tumbler.
Yes.
Is not a size queen. It's Pilsner or nothing for me.
So they're saying...
A beer flask, a beer mug, a beer glass?
I don't know. I guess that maybe because a beer glass is 3 inches wide at the top and narrower at the bottom.
But taller? Lot taller.
It's a larger overall cup size. Huh. I'm not sure what they're trying to tell us there, but I'm impressed.
You are?
I don't know what I should be. What should I be? Scared?
Yeah.
So 707 says, protesting for your beliefs is great, but not at work. He should have done his protest off the field and no one would have had an issue. While in those colors, jersey, he is at work. Keep it classy.
That's a fair point.
Well, no one would have noticed
Nobody would have noticed it, exactly. Sometimes you use the platform that you have.
You're right. You're absolutely right, Sarah. He has the right to take a knee, and I have the same right to boycott anything he's associated with. Hope you're listening, NFL.
Yep.
This is about Kaepernick.
I got a text from my sister-in-law.
Oh, what's up with her?
About Cap.
How's she doing?
She goes, this is Lori.
It's not Rose?
No.
All right.
John's brother's wife.
Okay.
Okay, I have to complain. Cap is representing Black Lives Matter that is against our police officers, and I, for one, am offended that you would go against people who put their lives on the line for your family, every day. Sorry, Sarah and Vinny. Not to mention our veterans, this is the reason Cap is in the situation he's in. Wearing pig socks to a game and being allowed to do so as is the last straw for us. That was my 2 cents for the day. Thanks for hearing.
Okay, well, thank you for your 2 cents.
Here's your cent back.
Yes, there you go. Here's your change.
Thanks, Lori. Love you.
Yeah. Oh! Oh my God, it's time! Hooman!
Rudy. All right, everyone, before we get into the somewhat anticipated home again, I think we should start off with the highly anticipated It.
Highly anticipated.
This film stars Finn Wolfhard. Oh. He played Mike Wheeler in Stranger Things, the kid. Do you know which one he is? Neither do I.
No. The kid.
Which one is he? Which of the kids on Stranger Things
Mike Wheeler.
Is he the main, kid?
I have no idea. I never watched
the
show.
With the shaggy black hair. Oh, you didn't watch Stranger Things?
No. You guys watched it before I got there.
Right. Okay. With the big teeth?
Yeah. There you go.
And Bill Skarsgård, he's the brother of Alex Skarsgård and the son of Stellan. So, Rudy, what is It about?
So, It is basically about a town in New Hampshire called Derry, where they are cursed by an evil spirit named It that can transform and basically prey upon all the kids in the town's fears, all their biggest fears. He goes in there and he preys upon their fears and eats, you know, basically takes the soul out of the kids by going in through the things that they fear the most.
I see.
So they're a cursed town. It's a cursed town named Derry, and It is the monster that's cursed the town.
So does the film It keep the characters as kids, or do they become adults in this new 2017 version?
Okay, don't spoil anything.
No. So unlike the miniseries, this, and the rumors are true, this movie is based on the kids' experience.
I see.
You know, so it does, it lets you go and enjoy. And a lot of people have said that the miniseries, the best part about it was the kids' version or the kids' side of the story. But yeah, this one takes you all the way through the entire adventure that the kids go through, that the losers, the group of losers, as they call themselves, they go through their adventure only in this first rendition of
it. Do you ever see them as adults in this film, ever?
You do not.
Okay.
You do not. But I mean, it's following the same formula that the miniseries follows. So anybody who remembers the miniseries from 1990, you will be pleased to know that they did not stray away from the original miniseries.
Did you go back and watch it on DVD?
No, I didn't go back and watch it. I had already seen it. You know,
okay.
It's a 4-hour, 2-part series.
I see.
So, I mean, it takes a lot of time. It takes up a lot of time. And back in 1990, you know, that was a long time. I mean, yeah, I mean, you were just sitting there just waiting for ABC to run this thing. And you were freaking out at 9 o'clock at night and your mom's telling you to go to sleep. But now you're terrified of anything with any clown makeup. So there was a part of me that kind of had to struggle through that to watch this movie. But because I like scary movies, though, I went through with it.
Which clown was better, Tim Curry in the miniseries or Bill Skarsgård, which is the one for today?
See, now this is a very interesting question. I think this is something that, you know, a lot of people will relate to. If you look at it like this, okay, 1990 Pennywise was limited, but it's the one that established this whole idea of like the fear of clowns. It kind of brought back that notion that you could be terrified of Bozo. And you know, Tim Curry did the best that Tim Curry did an excellent job, but Bill Skarsgård in this one, he has the assistance of, you know, probably a bigger budget and also the technology that you have in 2017. But here's the difference though. Tim Curry and Bill Skarsgård, they're both Pennywise, but it's kind of like comparing Jack Nicholas's Joker to Heath Ledger's Joker.
Mm.
There's a darker, it's Pennywise in the It movie is much darker. And it's, you know, I think it's made that way because I think people nowadays need a darker villain. I mean, if you look at the Tim Curry villain, as scary as he was for kids back then, he's not exactly, you know, terrifying. But the current Pennywise is definitely made to scare the soul out of you.
I have one more question, but I was going to throw it over to Sarah and Vinny if they had one or two at the most questions about it.
Why don't you take our one
question,
Sarah?
Well, the one that I want to ask, I'm afraid, is a spoiler. So
go okay. ahead and ask it, and then he can just nod or something, or he could sign language you.
I'll make sure not to spoil it for you. I'll do what I can.
What's the question?
It's about the ending of this one, because I know that if they do the kids now and the plan is, apparently they're going ahead with that, the adults later is the final scene 27 years later.
They definitely make a reference to the 27-year theory where it happens every 27 years. They allude to it early. And because, you know, they focus on the kids version, everybody knows that there's an adult version. That's the second half of the original It. So it does leave you, they allude to the fact that, you know, they're going to.
But is there like a phone call at the end? Like,
there's a pact. There's a pact. Right. As you can imagine, the kids, they get together and they say, look, if this happens again in 27 years.
We got to come back.
Exactly. So they do allude to the fact that there's going to be another portion. Just like there was two chapters in the original miniseries, they allude to that early on.
Okay.
That there's going to be an adult version for this. And I think that's probably the right thing to do because it's such a long, drawn-out story. And the book
and
is...
And I'm sure they've already crushed it down, you know, taken out most of what's in the book.
I mean, they did. But they had done that originally with the miniseries. I mean, a lot of people say that the book, you know, didn't lend itself to the miniseries because they had to take a lot of stuff out of there. Originally, the book was... Or the miniseries was going to be like 5 or 6 hours. But they had to crush that down back in 1990. But they didn't stray too far away from the miniseries, which is what most people are familiar with anyways.
Right.
All right. What do you give it out of 5 pinatas?
I'm giving this one 4.75 pinatas.
Oh, wow.
Full
of all your biggest fears,
wow.
all your biggest traumas, and just little clowns just falling on your tiny head as you break the last pinata. It's full of all your biggest fears. I thought this was a heart-pounding movie. I thought this was a thriller.
Oh.
Just the way that you anticipated. You know what it felt like? Like every good modern-day horror movie, it felt like you were going on a roller coaster. because you know what's going to happen. I mean, you know that you're going to be freaked out, but it really, it's like a physical experience because, you know, again, the technology that you have in 2017 versus 1990
right.
inside a movie theater, it's much more advanced. You know what you're going to get, and that's exactly what you get. So
that's why you're so scared, because you know it's coming.
Exactly, ooh. Exactly. And I had to sit there by myself. I didn't have anybody's hand to clutch.
Oh,
I was all alone.
Oh, man.
Brim was gonna he was supposed to go, and he's busy.
What about you?
Yeah, what about you?
Like,
what about
you?
Movies. He doesn't go to scary movies.
All right, everyone. Here is your review of Home Again. Starring Reese Witherspoon, Candace Bergen, and Michael Sheen. You know who that is? I think he's Sarah Silverman's boyfriend.
Candace Bergen as Murphy Brown.
The
unforgettable Murphy Brown.
So in this film, Reese is recently divorced with two kids, and she kind of weirdly crosses paths with these three up-and-coming filmmakers, and she decides to let them move into her big house in Beverly Hills. Things get complex when 40-year-old Reese starts hooking up with a 27-year-old Pico Alexander. Yeah, he's kind of this up-and-coming star in Hollywood. Rudy, before we annihilate this film, is there one good thing you can say about Home Again?
Reese Witherspoon looks great. She looks spunky. She's got a lot of spirit. She tried her best.
And I thought Pico Alexander is a very handsome young man.
There
is
you go.
Is that his name in real life?
Yeah, I don't know what his Harry.
It's Harry. His name is Harry in the movie.
Okay.
Was this the worst written, worst crafted film you've seen in the past 3 years?
Honestly, yes. Yes, it was. This is what it was. They tried so hard to make this a relatable movie, but they were so scattered. I mean, you got her, you know, hooking up with Harry, and then her ex-husband gets back in the mix, and then somehow those other two guys, which I did not expect to be in the movie at all of a sudden they're like key roles in her and her kids' lives, and it starts to turn into this weird Three Men and a Baby type of movie. It really felt like Lifetime was given a movie budget and said, go ahead and make a sexy movie with Reese Witherspoon, and they tried, and it was not good. It was just the plot was you couldn't follow it.
Yeah.
I didn't understand. I didn't understand what the point of this movie was. She was, you know, again, she's hooking up with this young kid, it doesn't really become a focal point of the movie, though.
There were a lot of long moments where she's sitting with one of the three guys and saying, "Life has just thrown me so many curveballs, and this is how I feel today." And you're like, oh my God, get on with it. Anything else besides this? Like, give us something to laugh at.
Something. And
with all
the writing, I mean, there was so much dialogue in the movie. Not that there's anything wrong with good dialogue, but this dialogue was lame. It was forced. And in a lot of ways, it was corny. So I felt bad for Reese Witherspoon because, I mean, I think she's got really good comedic timing. Mm. You've seen her in Legally Blonde. She's a great, I think she's a really good comedic actress. But she could not use that to save this movie at all.
They were trying to be funny, though?
They were trying so hard to be funny. But again, it was like Lifetime had taken over a movie budget in Hollywood and tried to make some sort of sexy, you know, redemption movie for a 40-year-old woman who's really a MILF, but at the same time, she still wants to hang out. She can't, trying to find herself. It was just so many things going on. And it you got lost halfway through the movie.
That's too bad.
Remember when movies that weren't very good went straight to DVD? Should this have gone down that path?
This could skip DVD. This movie could have gone straight to EBT, as far as I'm concerned. This movie was that bad.
You guys know what EBT is?
No, what's EBT?
Oh, that's the food stamp program. Those are the initials for the food stamp program. In case you didn't know what EBT was, you could have sent it straight. In case, you know, I'm sure there's some people out there.
Is anyone going to waste their food stamps on this thing? I don't understand.
I'd rather buy the government cheese than this movie with the food stamps. But, I mean, it could go straight to that. It was that bad. I feel bad for Reese. But the writing was just terrible, human. You couldn't stand it.
In movies, at times there's a montage. We'll see it in films.
Sure.
It's to speed up time or to reflect or something. And at most, you'll maybe see two montages in a film, but it's usually just one. It's usually towards the end. How many montages are there in this film?
This is literally a montage fest. this movie, and I'm not BSing you guys. This movie had more montages than The Karate Kid. And you know the Karate Kid was littered with montages because they had to show how Daniel was getting better at karate and all of a sudden he's cutting bonsai trees and all of a sudden him and Mr. Miyagi are like best friends. There was so many montages in the Karate Kid. But this one, and I even told Hooman in the last 15 minutes of the movie, I look over at Hooman and I'm like, I bet you they try to fit in one more montage. And that's exactly what happened.
Did.
It was like the family... Like, it was a montage of the family coming together. It was, again, montages can make the movie seem so lazy because they're just trying to fit everything in with a nice little song in the background and just try to make it all make sense in a matter of minutes.
They're supposed to have this wonderful dinner at the end. It's supposed to be a happy ending. And instead of writing dialogue, it's a montage.
Right.
At the dinner table. And they do.
It's a montage of people eating and laughing, sipping their wine.
Yeah, and thumb wrestling. I'm like, thumb wrestling.
Thumb wrestling.
I shouted, thumb wrestling. Come on.
I will say this, though. This movie was a little bit different, though, because I know this movie was geared towards women, maybe like in their between their 30s and their 40s, single mothers. I know that's the demographic they were going for. But I do applaud Reese Witherspoon for taking on a role where every dude was kind of proud. Like, I kind of wanted to be Reese Witherspoon in this situation because she got the dude, right? She got the dude that she wanted. She's happy with her family. She's got all her friends intact at the end of the movie. Her husband doesn't hate her. And I'm like, dude, she's getting the sex. She's getting the money. She's getting the life. And with no commitments whatsoever. I'm
winning.
Like, she's living life. This lady is living life. So I feel like it was a little bit refreshing in that regard.
One last question, and then I'll sum it up. How happy were you when the movie was over, when we said our goodbyes and parted ways?
I've never seen one person do a standing ovation with a room full of quiet people. And that was me. I was just I was wiping tears away from my eyes. I was like, thank God. I was like, if I run fast enough, I can jump out on the BART train and get home. But it was so boring.
It was such a boring
movie.
We were pining for the minutes to pass. Sum it all up, let me just say this. This is the kind of film that bums me out. No imagination, no creativity, no effort, no one caring in front or behind the camera. Everyone just doing it for a paycheck. I was literally praying for the film to end. This is the first time I've ever done this, and I've reviewed films for 17 years. I don't think I've ever done this, but I'm going to give this film a negative review. This movie's getting -1 Persian rug. Wow.
That's rough.
For the stolen time.
Yeah. Oh. I'm going to give this movie 0 piñatas, but I am going to give the kids a handful of montages because that's really all the movie left me with was just a reminder of how lazy montages can be when you're trying to whip up a movie for Reese Witherspoon. So it gets 0 piñatas for me.
Nice job,
guys.
Another fine movie review. Our friend Rudy sticking around for the Secret Show?
Without a doubt.
All right, and you've got a gig tonight.
Yes, I'll be at the Harlot at 8 o'clock. I'll be with Lyle Barons and Zach Chapelloni. It should be a great show.
And then is it the Bindery or the Birdery?
No, it's the Bindery. Okay. The Bindery again in San Francisco. I'll be there for the 13th. It'll be the beginning of the International San Francisco Comedy Competition. That's going to be a great, great show, the 13th at the Bindery.
And do you have a website that people can visit, or is all this up at Radio Alice?
It's under construction right now.
It's under construction. On our Instagram, Alice973 Instagram.
Okay, perfect. So, Secret Show, he'll be our special guest on there. Our friend Rudy Hooman. Great job,
thank
guys.
You thank you kindly. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Benny, Alice's morning show. Thanks to Rudy Ortiz for doing the movie review with Hooman. Our friend Rudy will be joining us on The Secret Show.
How about it?
I know, it sounds great. 4 3/4 piñatas with little clowns raining down out of the broken piñata.
They only left us one question. I had so many questions about.
You should have asked. Well,
he gave us one question. He had all that, needed all that time for...
Home Again.
The one that he gave a negative review to.
I know.
The book, because I'm in the middle of rereading it right now, there's so much violence that's not just scary movie violence, but like child abuse and animal abuse.
Why do you want to read that? That sounds
horrible.
Well,
I don't want to, but it's part of the story. Ugh. And I know that they have to cut a lot out. Mm. I'm assuming they're cutting that out. There's a lot of racism in the book, too. Mm. So it's really... I think I'm going to go see it. I'll probably have to go alone because, I can't bring
your
kid to that.
Does your girl like scary movies?
She would watch that, sure. Mm. The only thing she won't watch is devil stuff.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I'll watch devil stuff.
I love the devil.
All day.
God, devil stuff.
Yeah, oh God,
like,
come on.
Oh man, come on. Let's do a nice exorcism
You guys
here.
Are evil.
We're not evil. We want to watch the devil be vanquished. I mean, we're hoping God wins. mean?
As I hold my Virgin Mary in my hand the whole time. Do your rosary on your own time, lady.
Anyway,
pray for our souls.
We're going to go do a secret show. There was one we put up yesterday, and there'll be mm-hmm. another one put up this afternoon. So
I think there's a follow-up today.
There is one follow-up from the lady who was mad because her boyfriend hadn't revealed certain things early on in their relationship.
Oh, right.
So I got a response from her after what we said. I believe we're at $3,500 for our bidding. We're auctioning off a signed guitar. Carlos Santana signed it on Tuesday when he was in here. So that's up for grabs, along with a night at the Fairmont in San Francisco and two tickets to our Winterland. It's going to be an amazing prize pack. $3,500 is what it's at right now. All that money is going 100% directly to the Houston Food Bank. So just trying to help out in the aftermath of Harvey. So if you want to bid tomorrow from 6 to 9, that's the only time. And you have to call us, 800-400-3697. Mm-hmm. Call us to put in the bid. I'm hoping for $5,000. I would love to see it get to $5,000 or over. I mean, it's a beautiful guitar signed by Carlos. Plus the Winterland. We know who's playing Winterland, too.
Like, it's gonna be so
awesome.
Good, you guys.
What a get.
All our Winterlands have been good. And I don't want to say that anyone's been worse or better, but this one's better.
This one's maybe the best.
It's really, really good.
Like, it's someone you really want to see. Like, Well,
and for me, I'll tell you what, the truth is, I've seen Train like 4 times.
Yep.
So, I love Train. They're excellent. But this is someone I've never seen.
Yep.
So I'm really excited about it.
So you could win those tomorrow, 6 to 9. That's the last of the bidding for this big prize package. Have a great day, everybody, and we'll see you on Friday.
Sarah and Vinny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.